Representative Chris Pappas, 1st Congressional District incumbent Democrat, joining us here in my studios. Representative Pappas, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Jack. Good morning. Great to be on the show.
Are you going to share any secrets with us from the Puritan backroom days on those chicken tenders for Easter? Or are you going to keep that recipe kind of close to the vest?
It's a proprietary family secret, and it's locked in the vault somewhere, but they certainly are popular. And hopefully this will be a great Easter for everyone.
Yep.
Orthodox Easter is the following week after Easter this Sunday.
Yep.
And it's a great time for people to get back together and be with family after a long couple of years.
Now, I know. Thank you, Representative. I noticed some of your campaign. One of the notes I have here is you raised in the filing period $500,000 with almost $2 million on hand for your reelection. The Republicans, I don't know where they're at on the congressional side. I know we had Senator Morrison in the U.S. Senate GOP announcing $750,000 on the show. Kevin Smith a week or so earlier, $410,000. But Maggie Hassan has raised in the same filing period, $4.3 million with more than $7 million on hand. So Democrat incumbents are raising millions of dollars, it seems. Republican challengers with issues, if you listen to some of the pundits, going Republican favor in the midterms, not Democrats. You're outraising them by a lot, and they're raising hundreds of thousands of dollars to your millions, if you will. What do you make of that?
Well, look, I take every campaign seriously, and we're beginning to ramp things up as we get closer and closer to November. And I'm just really proud of the kind of campaign that we're putting together. We've got support not just from members of my own party, but independents and Republicans, too, here in New Hampshire. And, our campaigns are really fueled by people giving small checks. Those grassroots donors all across the state, and they're the secret of our success over the last few terms. And when I was an executive counselor, now a member of Congress, I've always represented a very purple or even Republican leaning district. And so I'm all about building coalitions and about showing people the work that we're doing in Washington. And I run every campaign like we're a few votes behind, so I take nothing for granted. And we look forward to getting out there more and more to talk about the issues that are important to families and how, by working together and listening to one another, we can create good policies for the future.
Representative Pappas, you have several Republican challengers who are running in a primary in the 1st District. Matt Maurer was the nominee last time, and you defeated Mr. Maurer. He had the endorsement of former President Donald Trump. But we had Gail Huff Brown on the show last week, Caroline Leavitt, some of the Republican challengers, critical of Matt Maurer over a story that broke, claiming that in 2016, in the presidential primary cycle, that he voted not once but twice, once in New Hampshire and months later in New Jersey when he was a resident there. Mr. Maurer was on the show. I asked him four or five times. He said he did nothing wrong there. There was no law that was broken. And he said it was the stuff of Democrats and his Republican challengers trying to narrow down on his lead as the front runner. Do you have concerns as the Democrat incumbent in that race over that Matt Maurer story and the voting record, with Republicans making voter integrity as a key issue or not?
Yeah, I think it's deeply concerning. Look, it appears to be a violation of federal law. He may be saved by the fact that the statute of limitations, which is 5 years, has passed. And I think he needs to answer directly to the voters of New Hampshire about it. It's pretty telling that you've got a candidate who came here to campaign and then left the state as quickly as he could to go vote somewhere else. So what does he think about our first in the nation primary? So I think he's got a lot of questions to answer, and it looks like it's shaping up to be a pretty competitive Republican primary. And, as much as folks, I think, want to figure out on the Republican side how they can get Donald Trump's endorsement or how they can relitigate elections from years past, I'm going to stay focused on the future and what we need to do to set New Hampshire up for success. So I think this is going to be a competitive race. It always is here in the 1st District, and I just really look forward to getting out there and facing whoever the Republican nominee is and really having a substantive conversation about the issues that matter for the future, whether it's how we get this economy working for everyone and deal with rising costs, how we make sure that the United States regains its competitive edge, and how the United States continues to be a voice for democracy around the world. That couldn't be more important given what we're seeing right now.
Representative Pappas, one of your colleagues in the federal delegation, Senator Hassan, is touring the southwest border. And concerned about, I think, what she sees there. I'm sure we'll hear from her soon. We had the latest fentanyl overdose numbers this morning with Chris Stawaz, American Medical Response, because we know fentanyl is illegally flowing through the border as well. There's a humanitarian crisis at the border. Senator Hassan seems to be breaking strides in some ways with the Biden administration She thinks that Title 42 should not be lifted, as President Biden wants, that we should continue or, you know, not lift that. Where are you on that Title 42 on the immigration side?
Well, I've signed on to legislation in the House. It's bipartisan legislation that would require the administration to come up with a plan. You know, this is a pandemic-era policy that was put in place based on the public health situation. And we've, you know, as we're sort of reevaluating where we are with COVID, I think the administration has to be mindful about what their plan is to make sure that the border is safe, that we have an orderly policy with respect to immigration, and that we're doing all we can to prevent increased flow of drugs coming into this country, which we know continues to kill people right here in New Hampshire. So the legislation would require, you know, a 60-day waiting period after the public health emergency ends. The president would need to go to Congress to present a plan. And so I think there are many voices on both sides of the aisle in Congress right now that are asking for the administration to sharpen their pencils. There's concern about what we're going to see as we enter these spring and summer months, where you typically see a surge of folks trying to come into this country. And the administration needs to be better prepared as they seek to, you know, abandon this pandemic-era policy. So we're going to continue to work on the drug issue in particular. I've got legislation that I hope we can pass that gets schedule-wide classification of these fentanyl analogs that are highly toxic and are killing people here. That legislation is bipartisan, and we need a long-term fix to make sure that law enforcement can stay ahead of the cartels that are just flooding the border and our communities. With these really deadly substances.
Real quick, before I let you go, Representative Pappas, you know, you look at energy policy, wind, solar, electric, all part of the plan, but oil and gas have taken on a whole new meaning with consumers at the pump, as you're well aware, with higher record prices. The Biden administration has tried to counter this by releasing more of the emergency reserve or even adjusting certain ethanol-level gas, but, you know, reports say that the Biden administration, while the prices went up even before the situation in Ukraine, was trying to get Saudi Arabia and OPEC to produce more, trying to get Venezuela to produce more, maybe even reworking the Iranian deal to get more. These are countries that don't like us. Do you think, Representative Pappas, as Americans look for, not everyone has an electric car yet, and it's going to be years before they do, do you think America should be producing more oil and gas domestically more than we are today?
Well, we should absolutely be making sure that we are energy independent and that we have the resources to meet the needs of today. That can help us to some degree to mitigate the price increases that we've seen, but we're still tied to energy costs on the world stage. And so when something happens, like the invasion of Ukraine, even though we don't really source much of our energy from Russia, we're paying a lot more at the pump as a result. So I think absolutely short term, we've got to fully utilize the leases that are available, about 9,000 leases that are not being used today that could produce more energy. And as we move forward, I think it's only sensible to make sure that we're going to have a planet that's livable for the future. And that means more homegrown clean energy sources like offshore wind here in New Hampshire. So I continue to support policies that will move us in that direction. And for the short term, we've got to make sure that we've got the resources we need to ensure that our economy can move forward. Because right now, what we're seeing with fuel prices is just unsustainable.
Representative Pappas, thank you very much for joining us. Get you back again soon. GMI Studios, Good Morning New Hampshire. Make it a good Wednesday.
Thanks, Jack. Take care.